The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Lord, make us stronger. Make us more confident. When I think about increasing in faith, it's something that I believe all of us here know that we need to do the same. We ask God to help us increase our faith in Him, the promises that He has made to us, and the hope that we have of one day being with Him throughout eternity in heaven. Increase our faith. When you think about the term faith, there's one chapter, one book that comes to mind, Hebrews 11. There we read of faithful men and women of God. We find the definition given of faith. But there we read of men and women of God that had such a great hope and desire to leave this life and enter a much better life, a much better world. They had their focus upon that. Clearly could see that. You know, we put our faith in things. We put our faith in people. Sometimes we'll say, well, I have a lot of faith in Mike, or I have a lot of faith in Dave. And what we mean is I've got a lot of confidence in them. I put my trust in them. I appreciate what they mean to me in my life. We may put our faith in a vehicle, as I used to in one truck that I had. It seemed like that anytime I went out there to put the key in it, it was wanting to start before I could even turn it. I mean, it was always ready, and I tell my wife, I said, that's a faithful truck. Well, we put our faith in objects. Back when I was a teenager, and we were traveling out in a Wyoming area, and we were out in Montana and so forth, we went to Yellowstone National Park. And we got there, guess what? Right after Old Faithful had erupted. They said, well, don't worry about it, because in a few moments, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, it's going to erupt again. It's been doing that when it was discovered many years ago. Matter of fact, it was named Old Faithful in 1870. So for 150 years, it's had the name of Old Faithful. Why? Because people know it's going to erupt. Just stick around for a little bit and it will. And we waited about an hour, hour and a half, for about a minute and a half to 5 minutes, it'll shoot that hot steam water upward up to 90 to 180 feet. But again, it's one of nature's wonders. And it may be erupting this very moment as I speak, or maybe a few moments ago, or in a few moments from now. But it got its name because you can depend upon it. The Bible definition of faith, from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible definition for faith is faith in the unseen. Not the seen, what we see, but the unseen. You know, when we think about our vision, 2020 vision is considered to be excellent. I haven't had that in years. But I know that when my vision is getting a little blurred, I go to the doctor. I said, okay, help me out now. I need something stronger. I need more than one lens. I might need two. I may need three. Anyway, we know that we want to see things clearly. And we don't like to have our vision blurred. Christians must have a vision that's far greater. How? They must, by faith, be able to see the unseen. The Christian's faith must go where their eyes cannot go. There's a song in our hymn book that me and my father wrote back when I was a boy. And you know, the copyright's 1986, so it's back when I was a boy. Just kidding, of course. That's when I guess it got copyrighted. But written back when I was very young, we walk by faith and not by sight. Do so me, we look at things we cannot see, eternal things above, where Christ our Savior ever lives and intercedes above. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above. Our love is on the things above and not on things below. When Christ, who is our life, appears, His glory we shall know. We walk by faith, not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above. Heaven is a glorious place prepared by God the Father's Son. We hope to see Him face to face and hear the words, "Well done." We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above. Hebrews 11, the grand message is about faith. It was written to backsliding Jewish Christians who were tempted to leave the unseen for the glitz and glitter of Judaism, which focused so much on the things that are seen. The ornate temple, the robes of the high priest, sacrifices. And it was common that these Christians would receive mocking questions like, "Where's your temple? Where's your high priest? Where are your sacrifices?" And out of that, they were being persecuted. But what they needed was a strong message to hold on to their faith in the unseen things, and so do we. That is the message here tonight. That we hold on to our faith. Faith in the things that are unseen. Hebrews 11 goes deep into looking at their heroes, the Hebrew Christians. Looking back into Hebrews 11, we're going to look at a few things here from Hebrews 11. And I want us to notice some things that are said in regards to the unseen. First of all, creation. There is the creation. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God did not create the world from things that are seen. He simply spoke them, and it happened. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis and just notice a few things here that really emphasize this point. As you look at Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Go down to verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament. Verse 7, God made the firmament. It was so. In verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. It was so. End of verse 12, it says, and God saw that it was good. Verse 14, then God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. In the verse 15 it says, and it was so. In verse 16, then God said, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. In verse 21, God created great sea creatures, every living thing that moves. And at the end of verse 21, it says again, and God saw that it was good. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. In the verse 25 it says, and God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And go down to verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very, very good. God did not create the world from things that are seen. He simply spoke, and the universe came into existence. And then there's Noah. What do we know about Noah? In chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Well, you have your Bible still in the book of Genesis, open to the Genesis. Look at chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. You know, that's sad, isn't it? We just got through reading in chapter 1 that everything that God made was good. Everything was good. And now at this point, we find, he says, I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. If you would look on down at verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. When had Noah ever seen a catastrophic worldwide flood? Never. But being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It was by faith that he did this. And then there's Abraham, father of the faithful. Hebrews 11, verse 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out. Now listen, not knowing where he was going. not knowing where he was going. Let's continue our reading in Genesis chapter 12. And as we look at chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, we see the promises that were made to Abraham. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He left his homeland at the command of God. You know, folks, he left for a land he had never seen before. And somehow he came to know that that land was not the ultimate land that God was leading him toward. He could look beyond it. That's what his faith allowed him to do, permitted him to do. He could look beyond. He was focused beyond the land of promise, but to a land beyond that we long for. We've sung about it tonight, heaven. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I mean, he was content while he was here on this earth to sojourn here, dwelling in tents, knowing that there was a better place, and he constantly was looking toward that. So must we. We shouldn't let a day go by that we don't think about going home to heaven. Every day we need to think on that. We need to know that, and I believe that faithful men and women of God do think about it. They think about it all the time. And their children know it too. And their grandchildren know it. These are things that we can talk to with our children and grandchildren and keep reminding them. As I get older, I think about it more than I did 20 years ago. I mean, when our kids were growing up, yeah, we get so busy in our lives raising a family, but we get to a point in our life we begin to realize, you know, I don't have that many more years remaining. But what I have remaining, I'm going to really let my children and grandchildren, I'm going to keep heaven in their sights. Now, we haven't seen it, but we believe it's there. And the stronger our faith becomes, the clearer it gets to us. We become more focused as we grow in our faith. As we communicate with God through prayer, and we let him communicate with us through his word. Yes, he stayed focused on the only city that had foundations, the one whose builder and maker was God. And then there is his wife, Sarah. Hebrews 11 and verse 11, we read, "By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age." All right, now let's read chapter 17. In chapter 17, starting with verse 15, follow along as I read this. Genesis 17, verse 15 through 17. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" Chapter 18, verse 11. "Now Abraham and Sarah were old." They were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. "And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And God said to her, no, but you did laugh. You did laugh. God had promised a child to this 90-year-old woman. Let me ask you a question. How many deliveries like this had she seen before? None. How could this be? That's the way she and her husband looked at it. How can this even happen? But you know what? She laughed at the idea, but at last her faith latched on, I believe, to the promise, and she wavered not. Let me continue reading back here in Hebrews 11 and verse 11 through 12. Therefore, from one man, well, let me go back to this. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And let's get back to Abraham and his son Isaac. Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That had to have been the greatest trial of Abraham's life, I would think. Here, finally, you have a son in his old age, and now he's told to sacrifice his son, to kill him. What sense did that make? What's going on here? Promises are tied to Isaac staying alive. When we look back in Genesis 12 at the promises that were made to Abraham, a land, a nation, a seed, how will God keep those promises if Isaac is killed? Abraham didn't know, but by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered him, was going to offer him. He was in the process of coming down with the dagger onto his son when he was stopped. But I do believe that Abraham believed God could raise Isaac from the dead, because continue reading, following on the reading here. Verse 18, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. How did he come to that conclusion? When had Abraham ever seen a resurrection from the dead before? We don't read of anything up to this point in the Bible, Genesis 22. His faith reached out to the unseen and persevered through the greatest trial of his life. Let's look at one other, Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. You know, I don't know if today, for the first time in my life, that phrase right there hit me. We always look at the part about by faith, Moses, by faith, Moses. And yet, when you read that little spot there, and they, who's they? His parents were not afraid of the king's command. Moses had strong parents, didn't he? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Invisible. He chose to leave it all. You know, most people would say, don't give up what you got, Moses. You got it made. You've got it made. I mean, where you've grown up in the house of Pharaoh and you've got everything you could want in life. No, Moses was looking beyond all that. He was looking to the reward, and so must we. We let so much come into our lives that distract us from seeing the unseen, from focusing on it. We let a lot of things go on in our lives that get us blurred, and we take our sights off of heaven. But not these that we have studied about this evening. Hilltops of glory. Do, mi, so, do. Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing, each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Way down in Egypt, Moses had started for Canaan's land. Never turn backward, always ascend onto the journey's end. Hilltops of glory, oh brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain, I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. When these faithful men and women went to their graves, they went without seeing the fulfillment of some of the promises. But it mattered not. It mattered not. Notice in Hebrews 11 verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here's a medley. I entitle it Homeward Bound. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, followed by This World Is Not My Home. Yes, folks, we are just like them. Christians today, as we travel through life, we are but straying pilgrims. And we understand that this world is not our home. And so did they. They understood that. Here we are but straying pilgrims here. Our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So what lessons do we learn from studying Hebrews 11? And we only just covered part of Hebrews 11. But what have we learned? Only the unseen things are eternal. Only the unseen things are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me put it really blunt. If you can see it, you can kiss it goodbye. If you can see it, whatever it is in front of you right now, it's going to be destroyed. It's only temporary. That's why we better focus on something that's really real. That's real. And that's the unseen. Everything seen will one day be destroyed. If we truly want to be like Father Abraham, we will never forfeit the unseen for the seen. Our earthly tent, this body, will be destroyed, but our heavenly home will not. I get comfort in that, don't you? It's comforting to know. And it just makes you want to just work harder and at trying to always keep your focus upon the most important thing, and that's heaven. To be with God, to be with His Son, to be with the faithful men and women we've studied this evening, and those that you've known, loved ones who've passed on, to one day we can all be together throughout eternity. What else do we learn? Develop a faith that simply says, if God said it, I believe it, period. That is the type of faith that pleases God. Instead of somebody just always like, well, but why, God? I mean, always asking questions, and there's nothing wrong with asking questions, but come on. I mean, if your faith is growing and it's increasing in God and in the promises He's made, then running something through our heads before we accept it is not faith. I don't need to run this through. I just know. I believe in Him. I believe in His promises. He's always held true to His promises. And what else do we learn? Trust God, as somebody put it, even in the dark. There are times in life when things happen that we cannot understand. Why is this happening? We can't see the plans of God or know what is in His mind. We have lots of questions, maybe asking why. So what do we do in such moments? Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's what our heroes did. Heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, that's what they did. They just said, I trust Him. And they left this earth long before we ever came along. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith in the unseen. Folks, we're coming to the end of life. End of life. Death may be my end of life or the Lord's return, but life is going to end. And so on this side of death, we have what we have is seen, the physical, the temporal. But on the other side is the afterlife. And there's either heaven or hell. It's your choice where you want to spend eternity. I know where every one of you want to be. You want to be in heaven when this life is over. And that's where those people in Hebrews 11, that's where they had their sight set on, is being there. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Is there someone here tonight who has not obeyed Jesus Christ, His Son, the Son of God, the one who came to this earth and lived among people on this earth, was tempted in all points, yet without sin, and He died on a cross for you, buried and arose from the grave? He lives. He ascended back to the Father. He is sitting at His right hand. He has done His part. And He did it for every one of us here. And most of you have taken advantage of that sacrifice and being obedient to God and to His Son. You have responded to His invitation of coming, believing in Him, and turning your life to Him with a penitent heart, confessing the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, don't ever stop confessing the name of Jesus. It's not a one-time shot before you're baptized. We need to confess his name every day and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Put on Christ in baptism. Faith. Without faith, you can't please him. Again, he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who obey him, who diligently seek him. Here is something I want to share with you, a quote that I heard from someone years ago, and I believe it's right on. It says, faith is the energy that drives the life of the believer. It's what keeps us moving. If you're lacking in faith, you're at a standstill. You're not going anywhere. Faith is what's going to keep driving you. It's the energy. If you need to respond this evening to the invitation of our Lord, why not come to him now while we stand and sing? Let's stand.